It is ordered, adjudged, and decreed that Walter McMillan is to face death by electrocution.
It's my dad, sir.
Sit down, young man.
John, I want you to sit down now.
He ain't do nothing wrong.
Please, Judge, hold on one second.
I won't say it again. Sit down.
Not if you gonna kill my dad for no reason. You killing my family, sir, you!
They convicted an innocent man. I was always taught to fight for the people who need the help the most.
You don't know what it is down here. They ain't got to have no evidence.
How many of you all were with Walter that morning?
You ain't quitting, is you?
No, sir.
We all with you.
I don't want my son growing up knowing his mom stopped doing what was right just because she was scared.
I think we could build a case strong enough to bring him home. And I'm not gonna stop until I've done that.
Let's get to work.
Your life is still meaningful, and I'm gonna do everything possible to keep them from taking it.
It's the Vinny Randall Show.
Vinny
it's
Randall.
The Vinny Randall Show. It's oh. The Vinny Randall Show. Yeah. It's the Vinny Randall Show.
Welcome to another edition of the Vinny Randall Show. I'm your host, Vinny Randall Jr., aka The Motivator. And this powerful show brings you conversations with today's stars and tomorrow's legends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Come on.
It's the Vinny Randall Show.
Vinny Randall
Show. Vinny Randall Show. Vinny Randall Show.
The Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
It's never been easier to start your very own radio show on Bashani Radio. Your Bashani Radio show will give you up to an hour show per week with access to over 500,000 monthly listeners. Plus, streamed to millions more on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. Run your own advertisements and keep 100% of the revenue. Sign up now on BashaniRadio.com and let us set everything up for you with no setup fees. BashaniRadio.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You know where you're at the Vinny Randall Show. I'm your host, Vinny Randall Jr., aka The Motivator. And like always, it's my humble pleasure that you allow me into your hearts and your homes. And you know how you can reach out to me, right? You can reach out to me at BennyRandall.com, or you can go to our private community at BennyOnDemand.com. Or if you just want to ride with us on The Voice, you can do BennyTheVoice.com. We everywhere we need to be. You hear what I'm saying? Today is like all the other shows, except this is the Bashani Magazine edition, where we once a month we highlight somebody that wants to change not only their life, but their community and possibly change the world that they live in. Her name is Saretta A. Smith. She's a native of Fayetteville, North Carolina, and a U.S. Army veteran. She currently resides in Grovetown, Georgia, with her husband, retired SFC Sterling Vandorf Smith. That's a hell of a name, man. That gone, brother. And is the mother of three. Saretta holds a bachelor's degree of arts from the Minnesota Graduate School of Theology, a master's degree in guidance and counseling from the Sacramento School of Theology, and an associate degree of business management from Augusta Technical College. Wow. After service to her country, she continued to serve, working for the federal government for some 23 years. It was in her service to the federal government that she became a union activist. Cervetta has been on the front lines of the labor movement for some 8 years, advocating for working Georgians, veterans, and federal government employees. She has served in various leadership roles, both in the ministry and her role as a labor leader. Her favorite quote is, "People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care." Ooh, y'all better ask somebody. Her caring heart is one of the many attributes that distinguish her as a leader among leaders. Wow. Oh, I got to give you some hand claps for that, Cerretta. Whoa, Cerretta, Miss Smith, how are you doing today?
I am doing well this evening. Thank you so much.
Wow, you have an incredible bio. You got more degrees than I think I even know people. You gone, girl, with your bad self. That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say. And why I want to have Cerretta on the show today, because Cerretta is running for office. And one thing I think is people all around the world got to understand that there's only two people in the world. There's those who do what they talk about and those who talk about what they're going to do. All right? Cerretta is one of those people who does what she talk about. Cerretta, you are running for office. Inform my listeners what you're running for, and then we're going to get right down to business.
I am running for a state senator seat here in Georgia, District 23, which is the district that I currently live in.
Mm. So let's go right into it, Cerretta. Why? Because you must be got a big why, because you're throwing yourself right into the frying pan. Okay, so you must be got a big why you're running and what you want to do. Please inform my listeners. It's only just me, you, and about 2 million listeners, so it's not a lot of people here. All right.
I do have a big why. Why? Because as a labor leader, I've had the opportunity to visit the state capitol, to visit the nation's capital, to lobby our leaders about issues and things that are going on in the community. And there are times when I've been doing that where I've become frustrated because you have people that are sitting at the table, but I had to ask myself, are they really here representing the people that put them here? And so my experiences have been that some of the people, not all of the people, but some of the people that we have elected to have a seat at the table to speak for us, they're not speaking for us. They're speaking for their own motives, their own agendas. They're speaking for their rich friends. They're not speaking for the disenfranchised. They're not speaking for those who feel like they don't have a voice. And so I want to be a fresh voice. I want to change that narrative. I want to have a seat at the table, and I want to speak for those that have been disenfranchised, those who feel like no one cares about them, no one is listening to them. I want them to know that when they elect me and when they send me, they can be assured that when I sit at the table, I'm going to be there to represent the interests of the people.
Mm, I love it. I love it. So let me ask you this, Cerretta. What are some of the goals you want to accomplish when you do get elected? Because we're going to roll just like that as if you're already elected. What are some of the things you want to sit at the table for? And what are some of the things you want to have change for the people you would represent?
So my district, District 23, it encompasses 11 different counties. And many of those counties are rural areas. And so some of the problems that we're seeing in those areas is a healthcare crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Out of those 11 counties, Benny, 9 of those counties do not have a OBGYN doctor.
Wow.
So women in those, women in those counties do not have neonatal care when it's time for them to deliver their babies. Some of them have to drive 45 minutes to an hour to get to a hospital to deliver their children, to deliver the baby. If you should have a medical emergency, say, for instance, your appendix ruptured, those counties do not have a surgeon on call. They can't provide those types of medical emergency type surgeries. And so we live in America, and, you know, it's sad that people's lives, it's literally between life and death.
I want to interject here, Soretta, Ms. Smith. Let me ask you this. It's amazing how such things that should be the norm, where it shouldn't even have to be on the pedestal, are happening right under our noses. But people go to so many other places to give a whole lot of money. But what about the people that are right here? And I'm so glad that you are focusing on that, because often we're giving millions and millions of dollars to other people, and there's people right around the corner, right in the next state, right in your district, as you say, that is lacking medical care and the medical facilities that I think should just be the norm. Like, why is that, and how did it get that way?
Well, one of the things that's going on here in the state of Georgia is that the Republican Party is holding up the Medicaid expansion in Georgia. So the federal government has allocated money to the state to expand Medicaid to help with this crisis. But the state of Georgia is one of the states that has refused to expand Medicaid. And so my Democratic leaders, they are there, they are fighting. And when I become senator, I plan to join in that fight with them to push for the GOP party to expand Medicaid. If they would expand Medicaid, it would help. It would do things like provide resources that will make it attractive for an OBGYN doctor to come to the area, for surgeons to come to the area. But the lack of resources is a major problem. And it's like you said, we live in America. We live in the United States of America. And every person in America deserves affordable, quality health care that should be accessible. Women shouldn't have to schedule cesarean infections, which put them at risk, which put their babies at risk because they fear going into labor and not being able to get to a hospital in time to have their unborn child. So we've got to get our state to expand Medicaid. And so that's one of the things I plan to partner with those that are already in office and to push for that expansion of Medicaid.
Now, there's a lot of candidates that are running, and they're running on, you know, the some of these ideas of Medicaid for all and, you know, Medicare for all. Do you think those type of things actually work, or they do not work? And I say that, one, because, you know, I've seen a lot of documentaries over in other places where they have like a tier system where everybody gets medical care regardless of, you know, their financial status. We're one of the richest countries in the world. Why can't we do that here?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. You know, money. It's all about money. I think that big pharma and big medicine has lost sight of the basics of caring for humanity. And there's dollars and cents, big dollars that are involved in the healthcare industry. And so I think we need at the top, at the nation's capital, we need leadership there in our president, in our congressmen, in our senators that are going to push and pass legislation that's going to deal with it from the top. But as far as the state goes, you know, we have the opportunity to do something to help make sure that working Georgians can have an opportunity to have affordable and accessible health care. I think, again, a lot of it's going to have to be fought at the national level in terms of, you know, you watch the debates. And I do believe, again, that we're the United States of America. You said it. We're one of the richest countries in the world. And there's no reason why every American should not have access to health care. There's just absolutely no reason why.
Amen. Amen. I like that. I like that. So, Soretta, what are some of the other issues that concern you that you feel having a seat at the table, you'll be able to bring forth some change and be a voice for those that can't speak for themselves?
So I was just reading an article yesterday that was talking about the quality of education in rural areas and how children in rural areas are not receiving the quality education as their counterpart. And so, again, a much of our district is a rural area, and I want to join in, again, with those that are already in the fight. You know, I want to vote against any cuts to education in the state of Georgia. They made a lot of cuts to education. I was just speaking with a senator last week, and she was telling me that they were able to get some of the money back in new legislation that you know they just passed. But that would be one of the things that we will be fighting for, any cuts to education, and fight to restore cuts that have already been made, making sure that children go to school a full 180 days. I think it's important to fund early childhood education, and I think we here in the state of Georgia need to invest more in our K through 12 schools, because every child has the right to get a quality education, and it's our job to ensure that our children are able to reach their full potential. We need to make sure that teachers have the resources that they need to make sure that our kids are getting that quality education, to make sure that our children are reaching their full potential. And so, you know, we may need to cut money, but we certainly don't need to cut it from education. And so I will be a proponent and a champion of fully funding education and making sure that our teachers and our administrators have the resources that they need to make sure that no child is left behind.
Very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. Just in case you're joining us, we're speaking to Soretta Smith. She's a candidate for the State Senate District 23 in Georgia. And we'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to The Benny Randall Show, certified number one in the world, on BashaniRadio.com, New York City. So nice, they named it twice. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
We're back. You're listening to Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., right here on Bashani Radio and Spotify, iHeart Radio, iTunes Radio, Radio One, every place that you can get your powerful podcast, we are there. And we got some powerful things coming up where we're going to even expand even more. So we'll be able to get a little bit more people than these 2 million people that we got here. So in our living room, it's getting a little crowded in this living room. So we're going to have to get a bigger house, you know, so watch out for that. Just stay tuned right here on the Benny Randall Show and you will be first to know. All right, so join me over at BennyRandall.com or BashaniRadio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking to Soretta Smith. She's a candidate for the State Senate District 23. She's one of those people that you should always want to have on your side. She's one of those people that knows both sides of the coin. All right, so she's been in a place where we've all been, and then she's been in a better place. And those are the type of people you need in these type of positions because they understand all the people, and that's a good situation. So speaking of that, Soretta, give us a little background about who you and how did you get to this point that you felt you wanted to run for office? What happened in your life to say, you know what, I'm going to do this?
Well, I think as early as I can remember, I've always been that child or person who was always speaking up for other people, someone that didn't like to see injustice, someone who didn't like to see people getting bullied. I ran for student council as early as middle school, ran in high school. Even in my college, my freshman year of college, I was a part of the student council there at the college level. I joined the military, even in the advanced training phase of my military career. I was a part of the leadership there. So I've always found myself in a role of being a voice for people, being someone to represent people. So that's kind of not strange to me. And when I became a union, got involved with the union, that's when I really got involved with politics. A lot of people think that unions is just about representing people in the workplace, but there's also a legislative and a political side to what we do as unionists, because the people that are at the table are the ones that are writing the laws that concern the things that affect working class people. And so that's how I really got involved in the political arena. And one of the things that unions have started to do is to groom their own, because we understand labor. We understand what it means to be, you know, working class. We understand how things operate and what it takes. And so we've been working to groom our own so that we can have a seat at the table, a table where people are making the laws about our lives, but oftentimes they don't come talk to us. They don't come talk to your working class, your middle class, your blue collar workers. They don't come talk to them to find out what the issues are, what are the solutions, how can we work together. And so that's something I'm just really, really passionate about. There's a proverb. It says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked are in authority, the people mourn. And so I want to be that righteous type of leadership, that servant type of leadership, that's going to be in a position of authority, and people can rejoice because they know they have someone who has their interest at heart, someone who's going to listen to them, someone who is going to meet them at the table and sit down and listen to what it is that they have to say. And so that's just kind of, if you talk to people, I think those are some of the types of things that they will tell you about me. I'm a fighter. I'm passionate. I'm just all about being a voice for the people and speaking up for people, because that's really what I've been doing all my life, Benny.
So if I ask you, what's your motto, what would that be?
People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
You go, girl. I'm sorry. I just got to do that because that you. Yeah. I love it. I love it. I love it. Because why do you care? I'm just curious. Why do you care? There's so many other things you could be doing. Why do you care, especially in the political arena? Why do you care, Ms. Smith?
I think it has to be a calling. I think that in order to do this work, you have to be called to it. And you have to know that you've been called to it. You don't always understand why you've been called to it. I remember listening to an interview by the late Coretta Scott King. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about the Dr. Martin Luther King. That's coincidence, because we're in this the week where we're celebrating. I just went to an event last night, an MLK event. But one of the things that she said was that she felt like she was called to Martin Luther King Jr. It was a calling to serve him in what it was that God had called him to do and what he was doing. And I think when you're involved in this work is a calling. And I really can't explain it. I can't articulate it. But I know that it's just where I'm supposed to be right now and what I'm supposed to be doing, because there are some things that need to be done. There are some things that need to be said. And we need people that are not afraid to speak truth to power. We need someone who is not afraid, is not going to be afraid to stand up, and sometimes stand up and be the only one standing alone, knowing that there's a greater calling and there's a greater power that is influencing and that is backing what it is that you're doing. And so I just feel that strong calling to this district to be a voice, because just listening to the stories and hearing some of the things and just driving through the region, I think that it's time for change. We need change. And I'm just ready to get on this journey and see where it's going to take all of us.
All right, moving forward, what is your take on mass incarceration? You know, there's a lot of people now that are taking on this from, and a lot of celebrities are taking on this, from the Jay-Z's to the Kim Kardashians. And, you know, all these people have their little things of what they want to do with mass incarceration. But what I've seen the most is Jay-Z and, you know, and a couple other people that are really, you know, the Meek Mills, that they feel like some laws need to be changed when it comes to mass incarceration. What is your take on it?
Absolutely. I just went to see the movie Just Mercy. It came out Friday night. Michael B. Jordan, Jamie Foxx.
Mm-hmm. We know it very well. And just for clarity, I just want you to let you guys know, she said that on her own, even though this show is sponsored by Just Mercy. I'm just letting you know she said that on her own, and I didn't have no previous conversation, so I don't want nobody emailing me saying, no, that was a setup. It wasn't a setup. She just said that. But go ahead. They're one of our sponsors.
I'm sorry. I hope I didn't say anything I wasn't supposed to say.
No. Go ahead.
But I posted on my page after I left the movie. I tell you, I've not, there's not a bone in my body that's wavering about running for this state Senate seat. And when I left out of that movie theater on Friday, I left knowing without a shadow of a doubt that I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Our criminal justice system needs an overhaul. It needs reform. There are no words to describe what the African-American, particularly male, when you do your research, you'll see that the African-American male, the sentences that they receive compared to those of white males are significantly greater. It's just the African-American male is stopped and targeted significantly greater than the white male. The criminal justice reform system needs an overhaul. And I encourage people to see that movie. I cried. I laughed. I cried some more. I thought about my three African-American sons, and that very well could have been them. It could have been my father. It could have been my brother. But for a man to be sentenced to death row for a crime that he didn't commit, and I'm so thankful for Brian Stevens, and I hope that, and I know that God is going to raise up many more men and women just like him to be that voice who won't be afraid. But we need reform in our criminal justice system. I've spoken with several senators that are already in office, and they've been working on some reform here, statewide, locally. And so certainly any way that I can be of assistance when I become senator for this district, I'm going to absolutely do that. But our criminal justice system, it needs reform. There's such a disparity of treatment when it comes to, again, the sentences, the number of times that were searched, that were stopped,
Do you think it's also part of a money thing, because there are a lot of prisons that have become private prisons? where, absolutely, you know, they get paid, where they get paid, you know, basically by the body that's inside. They, like, I remember reading something before that says that there are some states that get, that are smaller, but get more federal money to that state, and they have a lesser population. But the difference is they have more people incarcerated. So more money comes to that state for each one of those bodies that are inside of there. And that's done into the overhaul of the money that comes to that state. How does that work? Or is that true? Or is that a fact?
That I don't know about. I do know that I've seen a few cases where judges have been relieved because they falsely sentenced African-American males, and they were getting kickbacks from the prison for sentencing them. I have read articles like that. But let's just be clear, mass incarceration is modern-day slavery. Mm. Let's be clear, slavery was about labor. Mm-hmm. That's what slavery was about. It was about free labor, not just labor, but free labor. And so mass incarceration is nothing but modern-day slavery, which is about free labor. And so that's why we need to reform our criminal justice system. I was listening to an interview with Jamie Foxx, and he said that his father was stopped and had $25 worth of a substance on him, and he got 7 years for having $25 worth of a substance on him. mm-hmm. I mean, the math on our end doesn't add up, but the math on their end is adding up. Because you're right. And even with the federal government, they want to privatize prisons. They want to do away with the prison system and the federal government as we know it. And that's one of the things that our union does, and one of the things that our union is fighting, because they want to privatize the prison. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. We have become clouded in our humanity and blinded by the lust of money. And so I'm excited, and I hope to inspire other people to stand up and to hear the call and to be a voice. Because you have to, when you watch that movie, your district attorneys and judges at the local level are powerful people. District attorneys and judges in your city, they are powerful people. And so we've got to turn out the vote. Mm-hmm. And we've got to get district attorneys in office that are going to be fair, that are going to push for reform of the criminal justice system. We've got to turn out the vote, and we've got to get judges that are going to be fair. We have to know who we're giving all this power to. And we have to make sure that we're giving the power to the right people, because your district attorneys and your judges are very powerful people. And the laws and the legislation that they push have a very, very, very significant impact on the African-American community. And we've got to take that power and put it in the right hands. So we got to get out and vote. Mm. We have to vote.
Very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. I love it. I love it. I love it. And just in case you're joining us, you're listening to The Benny Randall Show. I'm your host, Benny Randall Jr., a.k.a. The Motivator, right here on Bashani Radio. And like I said before, this episode is sponsored by Just Mercy. After graduating from Harvard, Bryant Stevenson heads of the Alabama to defend those wrongly condemned of those not afforded proper representation. One of his first cases is that of Walter McMillan, who was sentenced to die in 1987 for the murder of an 18-year-old girl, despite evidence proving his innocence. In the years that follow, Stevenson encounters racism and legal and political maneuverings as he tirelessly fights for McMillan's life. Make sure you go to theaters right now. Or when you, after this show, don't go right now, because then you missed the show. So, but after you, and just know that it was 83% on Rotten Tomatoes. So that's very, very good. And I'm telling you, Michael B. Jordan, Jamie Foxx, Asher Goldstein, I'm telling you, if this does not get notice, all the awards, I'm telling you, somebody ain't looking at the same movies that we looking at, okay? So make sure you go out to the theaters. It's out now. It's called Just Mercy. You're listening to The Benny Randall Show. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to The Benny Randall Show, certified number one in the world on BashaniRadio.com, New York City. So nice, they named it twice.
It's never been easier to start your very own radio show on Bashani Radio. Your Bashani Radio Show will give you up to an hour show per week with access to over 500,000 monthly listeners. Plus, streamed to millions more on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and TuneIn Radio. Run your own advertisements and keep 100% of the revenue. Sign up now on BashaniRadio.com and let us set everything up for you with no setup fees. BashaniRadio.com.
Well, I tell you, we are back right here on the Benny Randall Show. Time is going so fast. We're speaking to Soretta Smith. She's a candidate for the State Senate of District 23. And I'm telling you, she is dropping it like it's hot, ladies and gentlemen. She is dropping it. I mean, just in case you missed anything, you can find this on Spotify, iHeart, iTunes. You can probably find this on the moon if they streaming. Okay, I just want to let you know we are here and we got it for you. And I told you this year in 2020 we're going to be bringing you a whole range of different topics, not just the stuff you're listening used to, you know, all the other years of business and things like that, but we're going to be hitting things that matters to you, because I believe that in the society that we live in now, you know, information is powerful, and you got to be in the know to grow. You hear what I say? You got to be in the know to grow, because if you don't, somebody going to tell you a story that may not be the right story. All right. So we're back with Soretta Smith, and she is breaking it down. She says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's her favorite quote. That's what she likes to live by. You know, what is your running motto here? You know, I'm here for the people. I listen to the people. But if I ask you for one sentence to describe why you're running for Senate, what would you say?
A fresh voice. The current senator, like I said, I've been in the district for 14 years. Not once have I received an email correspondence. Not once have I received any literature in the mail. Not once have I been notified that there's going to be a town hall. And so I believe that when the people elect you to serve them, you have to hear from the people. And so when you don't take the time to hear from the people, then how can you sit at the table and represent them and serve them? And so I believe that this district just needs a fresh voice. It needs someone who is going to sit down at the table and talk to the people, break bread with the people, listen to the people, not talk. I don't want to talk. I just want to sit down and get amongst the people and listen to what they have to say, and then ask them, well, what are the solutions that you have? I think that people should be, the constituents should be a part of the process of coming up with solutions. And so I want to hear what they have to say. I want to hear what their solutions are. And then I want to be able to go sit at the table and articulate what their issues are. And these are the solutions that we've come up with to better our district, to better our community.
Very, very powerful. And let's move on to the so-called low employment rate. And I remember seeing an article that says something to the effect of, the low employment rate, but what good is it if the jobs suck and they don't pay a lot of money?
Absolutely. I think I just posted that article not too long ago. It talked about low employment isn't worse if the jobs barely pay. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that the union is doing, we are pushing for the state to raise the minimum wage to a living wage. I was just talking to a group of people a few days ago. I was visiting a fraternity. I won't say their name because I don't know if I can do that on here, if that's legal or not.
No.
I feel like I'm giving somebody a shout out. But one of the things that I said to the brothers was that, you know, the Bible says that if a man don't work, he don't eat. But I don't believe God intended for a man to work 2, 3, 4, 5 jobs just to provide the basic necessities, food on the table and a roof over their head. I believe that when families have to work 2, 3, and 4 jobs, it takes parents out of the home and it leaves children unattended. And when children are left unattended, they're prey. They're prey. They are prey for gangs. They're prey for sexual predators. They're prey for just trouble in general because there's no one in the home to make sure that they are getting their homework done. You know, that they're not hanging out after curfew. Mm-hmm. And so I think that when we have a living wage and parents can be able to work one job, you know, and not have to work 60, 70, 80 hours a week, but work a 9 to 5, 40 hour a week, it gives us that family time back. That family time helps to keep children off the street and out of trouble, and it helps to keep our communities thriving and growing. And so I think that we need a living wage. We need to raise the minimum wage. I've talked to business owners, and, you know, business owners are concerned about having to, you know, pay more wages. But what more wages is going to do, it's going to balance everything out because it's going to stimulate the economy. If people have more money, then they have more money to pay their bills. And then they have a little left over to do leisure things, go to the movies, go out to eat, patronize, you know, local business. And so it kind of balances itself out. But people need a living wage. You know, with everyone saying, well, unemployment is, you know, unemployment, look at unemployment. And it's just like the article said, if unemployment is low, what's the purpose? If people are barely getting enough pay to just have food on the table and the roof over their head. So I'm definitely going to be a senator that is going to push for them to raise the minimum wage to a living wage. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. I was reading, and, you know, because I do a lot of reading, and I was reading about this current administration. I'm not going to say their name, but I'll just say this current administration, the resident. Some Americans could lose their Social Security disability insurance under the recent Trump administration proposal, a change that could affect thousands of people that received little attention since it was first floated back in November. Under the proposed change, Ms. Smith, the government will look more closely at whether certain disability insurance recipients still qualify as disabled after they've already been awarded the benefits, while recipients already have to demonstrate their continuing disability every few years. The proposal will ramp up the examinations, potentially running still eligible beneficiaries out of the program. The extra views will help to, quote unquote, maintain appropriate stewardness of the disability of the program, the administration said in a proposal, arguing that the current rules fail to account fully for the possibility of medical improvement. Your thoughts?
It's shameful. I'm a United States Army veteran. My husband is retired from the military. My father's a Vietnam War veteran. I have a brother, uncle, cousins that have served, and many of whom are disabled. I have other relatives who have not served. I have a cousin who is disabled. He had a stroke as a young man and, you know, lost the ability to care for himself. and he received Social Security disability. You know, I often tell people, it's not like a person wakes up and says, I think I want cancer today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I want brain cancer. I think I want, no, people don't wake up and wish that they have these medical crises, but life happens sometimes. And I believe that we are our brother's keeper, and we have a responsibility to take care of one another. And I think it's shameful what this administration is proposing. Many of my brothers and sisters in arms that are disabled vets, they also receive Social Security disability. I have a soldier that I know that's blind, that receives Social Security. I mean, the list goes on and on and on about people that I know who will personally be affected by this. And I'm offended. I'm offended as an American. I'm offended as a United States Army veteran that this administration and okay, I was going to say another word, but I don't think I can say that word on the radio. But I'm offended because the wealthy, you know, if they have these types of crises, they're rich. Mm-hmm. They can afford to go to the best hospitals and to get the best care. But everybody's not wealthy. Everybody's not rich. The Bible says that the poor you're going to have with you always. And he that lendeth to the poor, giveth to the Lord. I didn't mean to go church on you. But, you know, I just have to remind people, you know, we have a responsibility to take care of one another. And when you're blessed with more, it's not for you to hoard up and to store up. But I believe that we're blessed to be a blessing. And so to take, to rob and to steal from people that have put money into the system so that if life happens to happen to me.
And it happens to all of us. Absolutely. And it happens to all of us.
Yeah, I have a backup plan.
Wow. And it's amazing that Senate Democrat Representative Richard Neal of Massachusetts, he said there's more than 8 million Americans that receive disability benefits based on the past employment and a loss of wage income due to the onset of severe disability. And he said that they're concerned under the proposed rule, some individuals subject to review will simply unable to navigate the process and as a result lose their benefits, even though there is no medical improvement. So the Democrats have a group of House Senate Democrats wrote in a letter back in December. And why do you think this administration tends to target these things on a regular? And they're doing it nice and quietly. Like, you know, people are focusing on all of this other stuff that are going on with impeachment, and he still will end up staying in there regardless of what happens. But there's a lot of little things that they should be focusing on that so what I feel like, Ms. Smith, is like it's like the art of distraction. Let me distract you while we're doing the things that will really hurt you. And by the time you recognize what we did, you know, you won't even have a home left. Do you think people need to be more aware of what actually things are going on, and how can people find out about all these things that are taking place quietly without any votes needed? And, you know, they're just doing it all quietly, and they're distracting the world with all this other stuff where we know the end result, you know, unfortunately, of the impeachment is that, you know, the Republicans are not, it's on partisan lines. So he's going to get acquitted. So we already know that. Mitch McConnell already said he's in line with the White House. So I'm not even sure why he even has a job if he's in line with the White House, because that means he didn't really do what he took an oath to do. Your thoughts?
I believe that a large majority of our population, of our people, are asleep. I tell my members this, my union members this, and sometimes they get upset with me. I tell them, you all are asleep, and you need to wake up, and you need to get involved. You have your local parties, you have lots of organizations. in the community where you can get up and you can go to meetings and you can be informed and you can know what's going on. We spend a lot of money. I tell people, people spend their money on what they want to spend their money on.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that, I'm not against leisure and pleasure, but I believe there's a time and there's a place for that. And I believe that we need to wake up and we need to invest in ourselves. We need to be members of the NAACP. We need to be members of our local parties. We need to be members of organizations that are lobbying and fighting for our rights. And so when you connect yourself and when you're joined to these different types of organizations, you can be informed about what's going on. We need to be connected to organizations that are fighting for against voter suppression. You need to give money to those, you know, when they're asking for that $2 or that $1 to help fund for attorneys and things to help fight. And so we got to wake up. We have to take responsibility that we have given power to people and we just trusted them. We've not held them accountable. We don't demand that our leaders meet with us and explain things to us. We kind of just, you know, I have a Mercedes now and, you know, I've got a Louis Vuitton bag now and, you know, I'm doing real good now. And, while you're driving your Mercedes and carrying your Louis Vuitton bag that costs $600 and you don't have $6 in the bank,
you better preach.
It's taking your Social Security. It's trying to take your Social Security from under your feet.
You better preach that.
We got to get involved. We got to get back to having the neighborhood house meetings where, you know, how they used to do it back in the day. You know, we've got to get involved and we got to take our country back. We got to take our country back. And we do that when we go to the polls and when we get out to vote and we put leadership in, and we do it in a way that they know that if you get in there and you don't do what you said you were going to do or what you're supposed to do at the end of your term, that will be it for you.
Very powerful.
And so
very
we
powerful.
Have the power. We have the power.
I always wanted to ask this question. When it comes to Congress, right? Do they have limits when they're in the Congress? Do they have to be reelected a certain amount of years? And if so, how many years is that?
The congressional seats do not have limits. They can run for as many terms as they would like. I cannot remember the legislator's name, but he has been trying to pass or he proposed legislation that would limit the number of terms that your congressmen and your senators could run. Mm-hmm. So, but as of right now, no.
So let me ask you something. So they can run, but they have to, but I guess a lot of times they run unopposed. So that's why they continue to stay in those seats. Right. But so they have to run to get reelected. Is that what you're saying? And how many years is that?
Yes, they do have to run to get reelected. Sometimes they do run unopposed. And it's hard, you know, and if you're running against an incumbent, it's hard to beat an incumbent. Look, anybody can be beat, okay?
Right.
But if you're running against an incumbent, you know, it's going to be a lot of hard work because they're vested in the party. The party is going to pump a lot of money to support them, to keep them in the seat, especially if, you know, if it's a Republican seat and you're trying to flip it to a Democratic seat or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody can be beat. But they, your congressmen and your senators know they can run and win for as many terms as they please.
And most of them run unopposed pretty much. And that's why we end up with the same people who've been there for 50 years thinking 50 years ago instead of thinking about now. Like I thought it was quite funny when I watched the CEO of Facebook, you know, go up to the Senate and talk to those guys. And some of them had really no clue how the internet works. So it showed that there was a disconnect Some of the questions they asked I thought was hilarious. But what it showed is that I don't think nobody in such powerful positions that make laws should just be able to run forever. You know what I mean? Like there should be some limits that you can only do it this many times or whatever, because I think that's where we get this stagnation from, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And I agree. And like I said, there was, I remember reading that there was someone who had come up with or proposed such legislation. I don't know how far it went, but there are conversations about that. You're not the first person to highlight that or to, you know, to express that. There are conversations that are being had about that. And I agree with you. And we'll just have to see what happens. But we still, regardless of how often, how many years they can stay in office, the bottom line is the people vote. And the people can vote them in and the people can vote them out. And so if they're not doing a good job and then they're not keeping their word, then we need to vote them out.
Very, very powerful. Before we got like 5 minutes left, and man, tell you, Ms. Smith, I've had such a great time talking to you. I love your honesty. I love how you speak in layman terms so everybody can understand, even myself. All right. Because I'm not very smart when it comes to this political atmosphere, but I do read a lot, so they help me keep up. So let me ask you this. If people want to learn more about you, people want to support your campaign, how can they do that?
They can go to my website. It is Ceretta for Georgia. That's CeretaForGeorgia. CeretaForGeorgia.com.
All right. That's for you. You're spelling out the word for, F-O-R, correct?
Right. Yes, sir. Because some people think it's the number four.
Right.
But it is actually the word for, Ceretta for Georgia, altogether.com.
All right. We're coming to the end, Ms. Smith. I'm going to give you a couple minutes to talk to all of these people in my living room. It's only about 2 million of them. So your final words.
In my final words, I want to just urge people to get out to vote. I want to urge people to go to your election board and to make sure of your status. Voter suppression is going on all across the United States of America. They're purging voting rolls like we have never seen. They're purging them in record numbers. And so even though what they're doing is not right, we still have a personal responsibility to go to your voter election board and to check on your status and to make sure that you're registered to vote. I think we have a personal responsibility to make sure that our family members, our neighbors, our children are all registered to vote. People died. People gave their lives. People sweat. They put their blood and their tears in the right for us to be able to vote. And we have a responsibility to honor that legacy, to not sit at home on election day. Pick up somebody, take somebody to the poll, get up, get somebody registered. This 2020 is going to determine the next 10 years for this country. And so this year of voting and electing people is the most important year probably in our living that we will live to see, because it's going to have an impact on the next 10 years. So get out, vote, exercise your rights, and honor the legacy of those who gave their lives in many instances so we'd have the right to vote.
Very, very powerful. And once again, if people want to support your campaign, whether you live in Georgia or you don't, because you don't even know that she may run for Congress one day, and then she may decide to step up the game and run for president. And you will know that you had some say-so into helping her campaign go to the next level. When are the elections?
So the primaries are in May.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then the general election is on November the 3rd.
Oh, okay, cool. I appreciate that. And Soretta, I appreciate you taking time out your busy schedule to come on Benny Randall Show and Bashani Magazine. And we just appreciate what you're doing. And we love individuals who are not only trying to change their lives, but change their community and change their world. And with that, we was honored to have you here.
The honor has been all mine. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Benny Randall Show right here on BashaniRadio.com worldwide on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, everywhere that you can get these powerful podcasts, we are there. Millions and millions of people that can listen to these powerful shows. And it's our hope that we bring you powerful shows that that you don't hear in everyday media, that you don't hear in a couple of media companies. That then we want to give you the opportunity to hear the voices, as Soretta Smith said, a fresh voice. And a lot of times you need a fresh voice, a fresh ear, and a fresh perspective. This episode of The Benny Randall Show and Bashani Magazine is sponsored in part by Just Mercy, in theaters right now. I had the privilege to see an advanced screening and then hear Jamie Foxx and Michael B. and Bryan Stevenson in person talk about, you know, how this movie all came about and why Michael B. felt that it was his, not only his privilege, but it was his duty to do this movie. And so we're glad that this movie got made. And even though we got to see it in an advanced screening, I actually went back to see it again just to show my love and support. And make sure you support those people who support us, okay? Because it's people like that and movies like that that allow us to have shows like this. So it all trickles down. So make sure you go out and watch Just Mercy, starring Michael B. Jordan and Jamie Foxx. And I'm telling you, it is a powerful story of redemption based on the Bryan Stevenson's book, Just Mercy, A Story of Justice and Redemption. And I'm telling you, this is a humble guy, man. Got to hear him talk about everything that he's going through and went through to even get there. And a lot of stories that the movie couldn't even tell you. OK, because there's, you know, in a movie, you know, you still got to entertain those people. Even if you got a powerful thing, you still got to entertain them. OK, and he did such an eloquent job of talking about why he did. And, you know, we should treasure our heroes that are still alive, you know, because this movie could have been made after he died. But he's still alive. He's still here. And we're going to be having him on the show. So y'all stay tuned for that right here on The Benny Randall Show. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, I love you. And you can't do a damn thing about it. Good night.
You're listening to The Benny Randall Show. Certified number one in the world. On BashaniRadio.com, New York City. So nice, they named it twice. Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
We all with you.
I don't want my son growing up knowing his mom stopped doing what was right just because she was scared.
I think we could build a case strong enough to bring him home. And I'm not gonna stop until I've done that.
Let's get to work.
Your life is still meaningful, and I'm gonna do everything possible to keep them from taking it.